wonderful. He is wonderful. God is wonderful. Amen. And good morning. I think that tryptophan from the turkey almost wore off. Some of you will cook something different and you got to figure out what to do with the leftovers. Was high prices of food today. Figure out something to do with the leftovers. Amen. Giving honor to God. Yes. And thankful for my pastor in his absence, Pastor Kevin Love. There is a word from the Lord for all of us today. Amen. Open your Bibles to Judges, chapter 16. Judges, chapter 16. I will read verses 4 and 5, and then 16 through 20 from the NIV version. Those without your Bibles and apps, it's on the screens for us. Judges 16, 4 and 5, 16 through 20. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." Then she said to him, "How can you say," this is 15, "how can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day, until he was sick to death of it. That was some loud all rights right there. But anyway, back to the word. Verse 17. "So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, 'Come back once more. He has told me everything.' So the rulers of the Philistines returned with her with silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, he called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him." Verse 20, "Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." I will speak from the thought, hey, who is that you just threw under the bus? Who is that you just threw under the bus? It'll be 3 little points for us. One-sided love. If you love me, you will. And love gone wrong. Some years ago, a friend and her 2 sons visited Dex and I at our home. And Dex turned on the TV for the kids to watch, and he played with them a little while. After a bit, you know, he had come back. The grown-ups were laughing and talking, and I said, "Well, let me go check on the kids." So I come around the corner. Their eyes got big as saucers. They had something that I had on a high shelf. And before I could say anything, because they saw my face, one of them said, "That man told us we could play with this." They had no problem throwing Papa Brown under the bus. They did it so fast, they even forgot his name. They did say, "That man." But you throw someone under the bus, this is what it means. It's a figure of speech we hear from time to time. And throwing someone under the bus has a purpose. It's either to criticize somebody, to blame somebody, punish someone, get the blame off of you. And it's usually on someone who's in a defenseless position. It's done in order to avoid responsibility for something you have just done or thought, or to gain advantage. And sometimes it's just an outright lie to make somebody look bad because you throw them under the bus. Have you ever felt like somebody threw you under the bus? Your kids ask the teacher, "Billy, where is your library book? My mom forgot to put it in my backpack." Who reads the book? Billy. What about your coworker? Bob, why is your report late? My report is late because Sally didn't give me the information. What about your mate? Now I learned from Pastor. Look at me. Look at me. Don't look to the side. Are we having spaghetti again? Maybe, now this is the spouse response, maybe you should tell me what you want for dinner ahead of time. Throwing people, I said don't look at anybody, throwing people under the bus. Blame and betrayal can have significant negative results or effects both personally and professionally. No matter how subtle it seems to be, it creeps into our lives. So this book of Judges tells the journey and trials of the Israelites as they move to occupy Canaan, the promised land. But it's occupied by the Philistines. The Samson story, which is Judges 13 to 16, deals with a really traumatic, chaotic time during this period of history, between the death of Joshua, remember he left with Moses, and the arrival of kings, King Saul and David. They had not come into existence yet. And the scene of this passage is the border. Listen at this. It sounds like today's news. The border between the ancient Philistines and the tribe of Dan. The area used that the Philistines inhabited is what is now Israel and the Palestinian Gaza Strip. Interesting, this is in our news today where the war is between Israel and Palestine. But in Judges 14 and 15, let me talk about Samson just a minute before we get to him and Delilah. Despite Samson's disobedience, the Spirit of God would come to him from time to time, killing a lion with a bare hands, killing armies of soldiers with the jaw of an ass. I mean, he was a strong, powerful man. And it enabled him to accomplish what God had sent him to do for his people in Israel. He was a judge. Samson invited... Now listen to what you can invite into your life. Disobedience by marrying a Philistine woman. You shall not, because God had already told the people of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Now, God had told them that back in Deuteronomy. But twice in the book of Judges, where we are in this scripture, the writer of the book says the following. Two times in Judges 17 and 6 And then again in Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Samson was no exception. He told his parents in Judges 14:3, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. And this phrase captures more than Samson's attraction to that woman. It reveals the condition of his heart. Several verses later, the phrase is repeated again. He went down and talked with the woman. This is the woman he married, and she was right in Samson's eyes. God had told him one thing, but he decided what he thought was right. Okay. Samson's life is an example of someone knowing God, gifted and anointed. Recognize your call by God, but you make choices to please yourself. He decides. I'm talking about Samson. He decides what is right and ignores godly counsel. You know, you tell and even plead with somebody to do what is right, but they do what they want to do, usually without hesitation. But after the death of Samson's wife, and then he retaliated against the Philistines that killed his wife, and that's another long story. Her daddy had given her to another man. But anyhow, they had also killed the dad. And Samson spent some time with a harlot, and we find ourselves at verses 4 and 5. Samson is with another woman, and her name is Delilah. One-sided love. In verse 4, Samson has fallen in love with Delilah. That is what the word says. And this verse clearly states Samson loves Delilah. But nowhere in the passage does the word say Delilah loves Samson. You may wonder why this powerful man, chosen before he was even born to serve God, would get into a one-sided love relationship. Hear me, whether male or female, young or old, there are those that will try to seduce you with slick words and tell you what you want to hear. We should ask God for direction and discernment before making decisions or starting any relationship. Don't decide based on feelings alone. In verse 5, Delilah's love interest comes to the surface. It's a one-sided love for her too, but her love was money. She was offered 1,100 shekels of silver from each of the Philistine rulers for the secret of Samson's strength. That amounted to, according to historians, an estimate of millions and millions of dollars. All right. Samson's one-sided love was for the woman Delilah. Delilah's one-sided love was for the money. All right. A person's priorities speak volumes about who they respect and who or what they love. For Samson, it was women. For Delilah, it was the dollar. Samson's lust for her blinded him to her lies and her true devious nature. From verses 6 through 15, Delilah lured responses from Samson about where his strength comes from. Three times this man lied to her. First he said, oh, if you just tie my hair down. Then he said, well, you got to tie my hair down with new ropes. And the third time, I think he said to weave it into some fabric. But each time, Samson was able to get up just like that because he had not revealed the secret of God to the power that he had. The secret was that hair being shaven, and he had not yet told her that. But he broke free. But here you go. When you get to verse 15, if you love me, you will. Delilah said to Samson, let me read what the word says exactly. How can you say, I love you, when you won't confide in me. Here is the caution. Confiding in someone who does not have your best interest in mind and heart is like giving you a gun to shoot you with. Letting your guard down, you may end up revealing your greatest weakness to your enemy. Delilah took her one-sided love for money up a notch. She went from just asking a question to manipulation. And baby, she got on it. Let me say right here, because the statement, if you love me, you will. Some people remember the first time they heard that. Some people remember the first time they said that. But Jesus Christ did say, if you love me, you will. Keep my commandments. Understand that God is not man, and Jesus has his followers' best interest in mind. He knows the best possible way to live. He's not trying to twist people's arms, twist our arms into praising him and following him. Instead, he loves us with a steadfast, absolute love, true for life. The good life is found in obedience to God. When we seek life satisfaction outside of God and his revealed truth, we are throwing him under the bus. That's what Samson did. He made choices outside of God's will. When we do that, when we lie, when we cheat, when there's adultery, when there's thoughts of adultery, when we just do all types of sins, knowing that it is sin, we are throwing God under the bus. But the one who loves you will never betray your trust. Delilah betrayed the man who loved her. We too are in danger of this if we turn our back on God, who loves us with unending and undying love. So we have two people, each existing with one-sided love. Samson's love for Delilah, Delilah's love for money. The ultimatum was presented, you know, if you love me, baby, and manipulation begun. So we move on to my last point, and love gone wrong. Look at verse 16. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Do not look to the side. Do not. I will not look out front, and I will not look to the side. Why does Samson finally give in to Delilah's questioning? Because I know you want to say it's because she was nagging, but listen. She was requiring for peace to be, she was requiring of him to prove his love and allegiance to her. Samson's idolatry of women, and now Delilah in particular, has made him weaker than ever before and spiritually blind. The enemy, the devil, is relentless. Like Delilah, he will plague you day after day, seeking to devour your allegiance to God. Samson finally tells Delilah his secret. The strength was in his never-shaved hair. And after learning the source of Samson's strength, Delilah tells the Philistines, and after his hair is cut, we're told that his strength left him. The blessing that God had put on him was gone. Sure enough, the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. Something else I noticed. Delilah always had someone else do the thing to Samson that she thought would put him in harm's way. All right? He would tell her, tie my hair. She'd get somebody to come and tie his hair. He told her to weave the hair. She calls somebody to weave the hair. And the same for shaving his hair. interesting how people can smile in your face and turn you over to the enemy. Some people will only love you as much as they can use you. Their loyalty ends where the benefits stop. Verse 18, listen to 18. Now it's in the word. It tells us that the rulers who promised to pay Delilah returned with the silver in their hands. Delilah was not mentioned again in the Bible. Samson was no longer beneficial to her. Samson gave both his strength and his eyes to people rather than to God. And the man who's already been shown to be spiritually weak now becomes physically weak. They used him as a slave. The man who chose to satisfy his lust over obeying God now was a slave to man. Vows to the Lord cannot be broken without consequences. Vows to the Lord cannot be broken without consequences. Even though you are anointed, you have to deal with any moral weaknesses that you have, or that weakness will deal with you. Getting thrown under the bus, it ain't new. Adam blamed God for Eve, the woman he gave him. Eve blamed the serpent, and well, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Motivation for the blame: to avoid accountability. Abraham threw Sarah under the bus. He claimed her as his sister two times to save himself. Motivation: self-preservation. Jacob and his mother Rebecca threw Esau under the bus to steal his birthright. The motivation: envy and greed. Joseph was thrown under the bus by his brothers. The motivation: jealousy. Joseph was also thrown under the bus by Potiphar's wife. Motivation: protecting her reputation and her response to rejection. David threw Uriah, that was Bathsheba's husband, under the bus. The motivation: attempt to hide the truth. Judas threw Jesus under the bus. The motivation: selfish gain, and misunderstood Jesus's purpose and power. And the Pharisees and Sadducees threw Jesus under the bus. The motivation: the fear of losing their power and authority. We need to thank God for mercy, grace, sovereignty, and power. Samson had spent his life pursuing other gods, and in the end, as he last acknowledged, the source of his strength. His hair grew back, y'all. God let him be restored and strong again. As you read further in chapter 16, that he was able to break the pillars in the palace and kill thousands of the Philistines. He's still considered a hero of faith. His name is in Hebrews 11:32. In the same way, when we acknowledge our weakness and put our hope in Jesus, we are saved and find our strength restored. It's up to us to submit to the Lordship of Christ. You can have a heart for God and make wrong choices. Despite our failures and shortcomings, like Samson, we have hearts for God, but we have to turn back toward Him. Will you humble yourself today and realize your utter dependence on God? No matter how far you've fallen away from God, or how big you failed, or thinking about falling tomorrow, it's never too late to humble yourself and return to God. Ultimately, Samson turned his tragic mistakes into victory, and we can too. Let Samson's example persuade you it's never too late to return to God's open arms. Delilah threw Samson under the bus, and Samson, with his decisions that did not honor God, threw God under the bus. But as a Christian, are you more similar to Delilah or Samson? Are we disloyal to Christ? Do we betray him in sin in small ways and in big ways? Do we betray God for our own version of silver, worldly pleasures, or even money? Take care not to deviate from God's truth, not to conform to the ways of this world and its standards. Your Delilah, your temptress is waiting, opposing what God has shown and told you is best for you. Let me ask you this. Hey, who is that you threw under the bus? Amen. Amen.